Yeah, bing me. You bing me, I'll slap a hoe.
Emails.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfucker.
Welcome to the call to Ian, you cop-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Hold on.
Shit. See, what is this?
10
what
feet, bro. 10
oh,
feet.
What is that?
Sorry. You're invading a safe space.
Yeah, I do. I do need one because I already feel like I sound like an idiot. When
no.
I talk about it.
My bad. We're good, bud.
All right.
He's a married man.
Beer?
Don't lead him into sin.
No.
Yeah.
I'll get you a beer.
I got one. Party. Thank you.
Party, baby.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Ian Ellis podcast. This episode is called, Is He a Genius or Is This a Cry for Help?
Is that what you're actually naming this? This sucks. You suck. You're a shitty friend. You remember when you told me that I was a shitty friend because I wouldn't draw you? And now you're putting my sanity on the interwebs for probably the alpha generation or something.
People are just worried, and I just want them to know that you're okay.
I am okay.
I just want to understand. This is a safe place.
Okay.
So my guest today...
I have to piss. Do you want to do the introduction while I take a pee?
Let me introduce you, and then I'll pause it.
Okay, that sounds good.
My guest today...
I'm going to go piss.
All right, he's walking away.
You wish.
He's a bundle of joy. My guest today is a dear friend of mine that I care about, and I like
okay.
you.
Okay.
You're a terrible friend. I'm always disappointed where I'm like, I thought we were friends, Scott, and you're always just like, I tolerate you.
You should call this the True Friendship Podcast.
This is the True Friendship Podcast.
Or the episode
it's about,
name.
The episode is about the power of friendship.
True Friendship. You gotta say power of true friendship.
We gotta...
I count it, so it's three, and then we'll pound it so that the recording will hear it. And then it'll be like, True Friendship Podcast.
I hadn't considered autism.
All right.
But maybe...
Just do it. Fucking do it.
I'm just going to put my hand
one,
on.
True Friendship Podcast. Boom. You fucked that up somewhere. I don't know where, but I know
like
it was your fault.
Hacky horse shit that Doug right. Benson does. Or Pete Holmes, where he's like, let's all sing a song.
I
shut up.
I thought you were going to pause it and then like start over.
No,
or
this
something.
Is it. This is
it's
it.
All on there.
So weird.
Today, my friend, whom I love, and I hope you're my real friend,
yeah.
Scott Brennan. Let's clap it up for him.
Yeah, baby! Take your shirt off!
We have a live studio audience.
Titties.
This is so weird. I think this is my second podcast.
Because we all have our dicks off? It's all good.
Yeah.
All
about
it. It's at least your second one
both
with me.
Yours.
Yeah, both my dicks. Yeah. There's two dicks right here.
No.
So Scott.
I have four tests with the two dicks, I'm sorry.
In recent Facebook history,
of my Facebook history, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
You posted some pictures of pages.
Yeah, I brought them.
This is work that you've done.
Yeah,
and this is your theory about time and space.
It's my developing theory. Yeah.
Well, like, should I be afraid of the government having this conversation with you? Should I be worried that if this goes out, my life might be in danger?
Yes and no, and whatever the opposite of that is, and who cares, and move on, and you're not the first
you're disassociating.
One to do it. You are also the last one,
Scott,
and you
lock
are
in.
Also the
lock
first
in with
one.
Me, Scott. Scott, should I be afraid? Is this math going to change the world?
Yes and no. It's relative to how you want to do it. It's a lunacy math. It's basically just the game that's always been played for generations. And it's just a game of where are you, and
how should you
bring
be?
The future? Wow. It's young.
It's a game of are
that
you.
That sounds like Conjuring. Yeah.
Well, the future generation, what do you do for them after you die?
Now,
as well.
Being a human being
yeah,
that goes on Facebook and says, guys, this math right here. Guys, you gotta check this out.
Me?
You.
Yeah, I know. I kind of...
Are you okay?
Well, one, I do have to say, honestly, I did recently get diagnosed with having bipolar manic depressive disorder.
I'm glad you saved it for after the wedding.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It was, there was a hunch.
Just a wee bit.
Yeah, just a wee bit. But, no, I finally yeah, now I'm on mood stabilizers.
All right. Well, I'm not going to let you use that as an excuse. Because, worst case scenario, if you are manic, you could be manic and right.
Yeah, I mean, I have been working on this for probably 8 months now.
So what started this? What started the obsession?
That the number pi, or basically everyone's like, where did the Big Bang was the start of the universe? And I was thinking, well, what's the Big Bang before that? Q bag movement. So it was like, well, maybe there's three forces that actually started the Big Bang, one being energy, and then two that run parallel to each other with a positive and negative charge, keeping them together. Right. Maybe. Possibility in theory.
You're thinking smallest known entities
basically of
matter.
Basically, it's trying to understand the gap in between Einstein's theory of relativity and quantum electromechanics, and then quantum gravity, which I think is quantum and like, what's the opposite of quantum? It's very small. Supermassively hung dick gravity.
Major ponage?
Major bonage gravity and quantum gravity. Micro penis gravity.
I'm
going
to bring you in 1 second. Do you understand math?
on what respect? On what level? Because it's like, but so, this goes a little bit beyond.
I argued with you on Facebook, and it's because I love science. And my favorite science is junk science. Okay, Nibiru. We could talk about that. Nibiru. did the reptilians make us? These are the theories I grew up subscribing to. So I have my own wacky thoughts. And I'm willing to indulge anything. So I was like, I started arguing with you.
Yeah.
But I think you were taking it more serious, and so I want to understand, like, what you're actually saying. Now, we have a peanut gallery here today, who is not yet ready. Okay. All right.
I mean, I think you should feel free, because it's kind of like...
So, you...
All right. You
were sitting around thinking about what was the causation of the Big Bang. Nothing,
pretty much,
there's something.
Honestly, where it started, I can tell you where it was in college. Mm-hmm. It was like my junior or senior year. Some guy came up to me and we were arguing about the importance
of
philosophy.
Where did he touch you?
No, he was my age. He was a philosopher.
Doesn't mean he didn't touch you.
That doesn't clear it up. So he touched you in your age?
No. I don't like this. I don't like this joke. But no, this guy came up to me and we were arguing about, I was a science major and he was a philosophy major, and he goes, you're studying trees, and I'm like, you're studying thought, and he goes, define to me the essence of a tree. And it was basically that conundrum of, well, it has a cell. Yeah, you can't. Okay. You can try, but you can't, and that's the whole point of the fucking game. Yep. It's the whole game. It's keep on
trying.
So,
what did you think that is the essence of science, is you cannot prove
anything. No, if you prove one thing,
you got to disprove something else. And you got to approve something else.
That, or you can combine them and open up a whole branch. Like, it'll always go forever.
I like your theory of pi. I like it.
You don't know my theory of pi.
Well, I haven't discussed it yet.
Let's say that the theory of pi is everything's a perfect circle, right?
No. That's a band.
What's your just blowing the fucking microphone?
I wanted to pick up the laughter that everybody
found. Ah, what an idiot. All right, we're good. No, go ahead.
I took care of reference was awesome.
So you don't think, what's your theory of...
Wait. All right.
Go ahead.
So, with science, we were always looking for a grand unified theory to explain everything. And on the large scale, that's very doable. Gravity's pretty consistent. Time is pretty consistent. But as we get smaller and smaller to the quantum field, the rules that we've established kind of fall apart. Things tend to exist and not exist and play by their own rules. So now we're trying to rectify these two things into a singular explanation. And I think that's where you arrived at, or where you have thoughts on.
I kind of did not understand. I didn't get the whole thing, what you're trying to ask there. So,
do you have an idea that makes sense, that rectifies the difference between the way things work at the quantum level and the big level?
No, I'm developing
it all works together.
Why?
Okay.
I think that basically the way that we measure subatomic particles like neutrons and just any quark or anything like that.
My wife has lots of quarks.
Quarks is smarter than that.
Oh, sorry.
She's quirky.
All those quirks. But any kind of subatomic particle, I think that like that we measure it with a laser is kind of odd, because if it's measured with a laser or something that moves linearly only, that it's going to, of course, have those gaps, because you have that quantum leap that like where it's like it's here and then here real quick, but really it could be moving in a spiral. We're not measuring
the
it outside.
Parameters you give it to function within may also be a hindrance to ways it can, different ways it can function. It could also limit you from seeing the other way it functions.
Right. And it's like, do we have that technology to really understand it? I don't know.
Now, you started...
What do you want? You got some... Do you want to...
You're saying quarks can only be horizontal and not vertical. Examined.
No. I'm saying that's how we do measure.
Why?
With the hydro... I don't know why.
So we only...
Probably because that's how we can build. Well, we measure... Like, we run it through a track with the Hydron Collider. You know, it's going in one... Like, it's just going in one movement that we're measuring it, like, where it's, like, it's going to travel on a two-dimensional plane. Instead of it's, like, it travels infinitely everywhere
before it gets...
But you
got to
hit
at that three-dimensional plane
so
when it hits.
Dun, 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 you know?
But when it hit, you got to hit that... No?
Hit what?
Horizontal and the vertical at the same time. So you know when it's traveling.
Oh, to measure it, yeah. So it's got to come perpendicular into itself.
So it
be
may
measured
be
measured into
so
3D, which
it may
is
have
why.
A rational move in the fifth dimension that we can't see, so it looks like an irrational move to us in our dimension.
Yeah.
We know two moves that we know, horizontal. We know vertical.
I'm paying attention.
No, you're right. We know horizontal. We know vertical. That's all we know.
And the fact that it's
and there's I know there's other things going on there in the
we're
science,
on the
I'm
z-axis.
There's
three dimensions,
there,
and then there's three dimensions.
We know two
time.
Ways. It's this way and this way. And when it
what
hits,
did you say?
But
so there's the X and Y, and then there's the Z
no,
axis.
Three dimensions and time?
Yeah, so...
Define
first,
what you,
first
I'm
dimension,
just curious what you mean about that.
First dimension is a dot. Second dimension, a line. X and Y axis. Third dimension, it sticks out.
Boom.
It's in the third dimension. And then there's that third dimension as it functions in time.
So where do we find that that meeting point?
When
right
ADD,
there?
I just like
that's the fourth dimension.
It was
that,
you were like the peanuts
dimension.
For a moment. It was like, whoa.
I, did,
whoa.
It was
I was like, what, say it one more time.
I just want to know where your airplane is parked.
My airplane?
I don't know. You look like a co-pilot.
No, he looks. No,
pilot.
He looks like he looks the head pilot.
Why? Because my haircut?
Yeah,
you're like
this.
A,
this is what a co-pilot looks like right here.
Pizza.
All right. So, at some point, you started exploring this theory on paper. I assume in a to decode a formula, or what is it? What walk me through this? Where does it start? And where does it go?
Well, this one, this is the very middle when I started. I got like a lot more at home.
Jesus.
But it all started with.
But this is 8 months
here,
of exploration.
Let me just define the puzzle that I stumbled upon. Why? Please keep them in order. Only touch with holy hands.
I got holy hands. I touch you. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
This might solve all of time and space. Don't be...
No, it's fine. It will correct itself by the rule of infinity. You can always pass it on.
Shut up.
But yeah. What was the question? Oh, where's the... So it all started with a conundrum that I kind of felt
puzzle.
That... Or puzzle. So if... Pi is 3.14159 whatever, or, you know, infinity, then the whole thing is like this rule of threes. So I started thinking about where if you had like a little...
All right, can we slow down for a second? What is pi?
Pi is a numerical number that goes on with decimals that go on... As far as we know,
it's the idea that
but it's like it can never be even. It's infinitely
it's
expanding.
A circle in the
yeah.
world.
It's pretty much our number as three-dimensional beings
that's
trapped into
world.
Understanding. When you take a piece of paper, loop it, and then connect it on the other side, pi is that for us. where it'll
you
just
connected two dimensions one to one.
You basically make a start and stop. That's why that, you know, the Beatles, hello, goodbye, and then you have like, what does hello, goodbye mean? And to Hawaiians, it's really aloha, aloha.
So,
you know, you have these different understandings of what the end
the puzzle means. Or the conundrum, like as a thesis, and then why? How does pi begin to factor into that being maybe an explanation?
Broadly the beginning, speaking. If you took a one-dimensional creature, here's, and you, like, this is where it's just a game and theoretical. Okay, so I was very drawn to this idea of what are the last digits of pi, and then I became infatuated with Einstein's relativity, with it has to be relative to where you are. So if the beginning of a three-dimensional being after the decimal is pi, for a one-dimensional being, the first decimal point over is 3, and vice versa.
Okay, so yeah, when you started talking about it, I was like, I immediately started talking about the Fibonacci sequence of like it's 1, 1, 3, or 1, 1, 2. Go ahead, Joe.
Explain how it. Here's the. You gotta explain that it comes together.
It always comes together.
That's what I'm saying. Is here's a piece of paper. It's flat.
Are you feeling it?
Yeah, there's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
A little weird, but all right, yeah. It's flat. Alright?
Yeah.
This is our dimension right now. What? Okay. We're one dimension.
Yeah.
Alright, so to get three dimension, this has to not overlap. It can't overlap. It has to hit. It has hit perfectly.
It's hit how it was supposed to.
But he doesn't understand how three dimensions work. He's trying to explain that, and I can't do it with paper, but one dimension is flat. Right?
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
He wants you to explain what three dimension means.
Oh, three dimension? What does it mean?
So how it goes from here, right, flat.
Yeah.
To you're connecting these, but at the same time you're seeing.
Well, he's also, well, here's where you get to the point where it's like, you already know.
Lean in.
You already know, like, you've taught me. That's what the whole point is that you brought me through, and you brought me through. Everybody. Everybody brings everybody together.
So we're all one connected entity experiencing every life infinitely.
Bring it in.
Yeah. And it's like, what?
I'm saying, bring this into there so they understand.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
Not visual, but you're talking. All right.
So basically,
imagine a flat piece of paper.
A flat piece of paper. And you're a one-dimensional being. And you fold yourself on top of yourself. What? You got to help me connect it.
How the three dimensions happens is how we see it. Is that this is one dimension, right?
Yeah.
Two dimensions that way. Three dimensions this way. Right?
I don't know the answer.
No, I'm saying, but how we physically see it is because we take the.
He's talking about round eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, to pi.
Yeah. So we see it because it came.
To three.
Three dimension came because we saw it one dimension. Right? No, I'm not being an asshole.
No,
I'm
I know.
Saying, I'm saying.
I'm trying to figure out the puzzle.
It's not a puzzle. It's, I was trying to explain that. There's one dimension.
We're a three-dimensional being.
How do you explain it like somebody doesn't understand? Like, here's what I'm trying to say. It's like, it's one piece of paper, right?
Yeah.
And then the second piece of paper is like, that's the 2D, right? So that's the median. And you take that 3D. So now you've taken these two sides that should be one-dimensional.
Oh,
you make it a one. You make it a 3D now because you're three dimensional now. 4D is when you go beyond that.
Is 4D then just a
4D is when you take a 3D and you projected that beyond that. So we're trying to figure out how do you explain 3D? Take a piece of paper if you're at home right now. Not for real.
Pay attention, Stephen Hawking. I know,
it's easy. No, Stephen Hawking.
We're doing the big work.
He's way smarter than I am. He's got a battery. He's way smarter. Dude, his thing has batteries in it. It's way smarter than I am.
Oh, you have to be opposite to that as well.
But that's where dimensions get weird at. Yes. You're looking at me. I just showed you three dimensions. That doesn't make sense to you.
And then I'm looking at my notes because there's a language barrier that differentiates between everybody else.
I show you this.
Which is what the unexplainable.
That's three dimension, though, is to me, that's three dimension. To you, it's like, I just fold a piece of paper. That's it. But yeah. I'm saying that's how stupid it is.
It's a language gap to where it's like, holy fuck.
But it shouldn't be a language gap. It should be we should all understand this kind of gap.
Yes.
Of...
But it's something that you kind of look.
And he's going, what an asshole. I'm going, dude, this is amazing. For real, but it's perspective.
Hold on.
Boom.
This is something that it's like, I've been thinking of that, like, is Generation Alpha going to just be having the same conversation that we are as kids, just because it's like, yeah, these are kind of all things that we're drawing. We've always been drawing.
But guess,
and they're going to be thinking about phantoming number values. As in, like, something...
They're going to fake that shit just to replicate what we're doing.
Yeah.
Even and though you put hard work into that,
yeah,
they're going to fabricate it. That's where it's gone.
That's where...
That's not good, though.
No. That's where you're stepping out of your lines. Because in order... That's the 3D dilemma, is to understand that it is based on your perception, and you need to disallow all perspective of it and just observe it relative to yourself and where you're standing and try and help everybody on each side.
Let's go back to this side.
It's
based off perspective, though, right? Mm-hmm.
Because we got a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through the notes. Starting with, so you're obsessed with pi, and then you start obsessing about Einstein's theory of relativity. And somewhere in there, you start having like a breakthrough or a relative theory. Take me through the notes as you're writing down like what's important and why it's important.
Well,
I'm gonna eat
pizza. Why it's important is that it's free, and that it's always been there, and people have always known this, but people have learned at different times.
What's the value to you writing it down? Where you're like, this is important. I want to make sure I'm holding on to this concept because I think it feeds through.
It's almost like it's not. It's just another form of like DNA. Like when you mate, like when you, like two people mate and make a baby, it's like who they were, like all that stuff. Really, in the grand scheme, why it happened didn't serve a purpose. It just did. So right. I just am sharing the information.
Okay. So what's the first thing on the piece of paper?
Everything always gone well, and we're all happy infinitely, opposite of infinitely, quantum relativity.
It's a poem.
It's the title that I called it.
Okay. Yeah. It's a long thesis.
So,
but
can we say with more enthusiasm?
Quantum relativity cannot be, that's the problem, is he can title that, but it can't be questioned then, because it's, quantum relativity is basically the version of saying, my opinion is,
right.
You can't question it.
I can't question it.
No, I'm saying you're jumping the gun because you're saying.
Oh yeah, no, that's the whole point. Yeah. It's a safeguard. Yeah. Basically, you it's all about safeguarding yourself and your one place in your existence.
So, if I believe, I can't say I believe, but he's input quantum relativity in there, and I'm like,
yeah,
I can't question that because it's not a fact, it's not a theory, it's a idea of what could possibly be.
What's correct. The first note that we have?
Pi is just a number. 3.1415926 etc. And then I labeled that idea as pi as in a circle. And then the next one is infinity sign in a circle. And then it's infinity as a comprehensible number and defiable by a finite infinity. Meaning that the infinite amount of possibilities inside this infinity cannot conceive that it's outside of that infinity.
Okay.
And now there's infinity with a C sign, so with an opposite arrow, -1. So So you can see that. So that's infinity minus one.
So you're holding in your head, pi is just a number, but also infinity cannot conceive of itself as infinity.
No, it could, but he's proven to himself that he cannot be held accountable for what he's saying.
Right.
That's what he's doing. It right. can be proven that it can be more than that. He's saving his ass
you
by
know,
saying...
You know my game.
Yeah.
Saving his ass by saying
so
that.
Infinity minus one, and the one is trans...
I love it.
So the one, let's say with this theory, is me. So infinity minus one is transferable, meaning that this one can go back into infinity and out of infinity. The next one is infinity, not basically it's the X, like infinity can't cross minus one. So infinity minus one with a non-transferable one, meaning a one that can't go back into the infinity that it once was in.
So what does that one become?
That's the question.
Non-numeric.
Where you get a non, you have to make up a new number basically, and you go.
It's useless. Essentially,
does it continue
you
to
get,
exist?
Basically, you get an unfolding. You get the dilemma of it goes back to zero or one, and then infinity.
So, if we want to be assholes, we debate over that one number. That's the purpose it serves. Is mm-hmm. if someone wants to debate over it, you can debate over that one number. That's it. That's
or you make up a new number.
Exactly, but that's one purpose
get,
that serves.
Which is where I go. I make up a number.
So we're not gonna fight over that number.
All right, that's fine.
If somebody somebody could fight over that number. I'm not. It's not a joke.
But does that number outside of infinity then itself become?
If it came to legal issues, yes. And that was a good clause you put in there. Is because
I want to go with him on this. I don't want to talk about the number.
Okay.
I'm saying, but if it came to a legal clause,
it's an interesting idea. We're moving on down the page.
All right, and
so
then
safeguarding himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
So dramatic.
So basically, then you get I go into like how I count. So there's multiple ways to count.
For fingers and toes.
Common core.
Yeah. Basically, 3D number manipulation counting.
I failed the zero multiplication table.
Huh?
I failed the zero multiplication table.
Why?
0 times 1, 1. 0 times 2, 2.
Obviously.
I know what you're doing.
Telling me I failed the most. Yeah.
He's just saying how good he is.
He's just confessing.
I'm terrible at math.
Well, this stuff doesn't like involve that kind of math.
Good. We're good then.
Junk science.
It is.
I'm throwing it out there.
My favorite.
I like junk science.
Let's see. 3D number manipulation. Why we are going with the assumption that three elements, quote unquote, led to the creation, or our agreed upon assumption that we do in fact exist. So math is usually read one or two dimensionally, or basically it's like, you know, it's like we'll read left to right, or it's like that number, point at it, and blah blah blah. One dimensionally is going, this is a three. Two-dimensionally is, you know, 1 minus 1 equals 0, like that. But really, when you go into 3D, then it could be like, well, are these numbers just flat? So it's relative to me, so the middle one is closer to me. That's why I should read that one first, and then the 0 is second closest to me, and then the other one. So really, 1 minus 1 equals 0 equals, it really is... One,
so you have a
zero,
bias toward
one.
The way you read the numbers based on your...
Yeah.
It's not reading
your plane of existence.
Yeah, pretty much.
No.
And it's like...
That's absolutely the opposite of it.
Of what? My theory?
Yeah. It's not a theory, it's law.
Right, it
what
is
you
law.
Said, it was not law.
Yeah, I know.
What you think is... No. That's,
no, I know.
That's gambling.
I'm telling you this is like just how I read numbers. Like how I play the game.
If it was a legal document, you can't say, well... Here's the way I read the document.
Right. That's why you give this no value.
Yeah.
So.
I know we're on the same page, babe.
We're exploring an idea, though.
Yeah, it's just an idea.
I love thinking about this stuff.
I really don't think.
Is that
think
the end
I
of that
page? I want to hear your girth, your idea. I really do. Like, what? I won't interrupt you, I promise.
I want to go through the growth of the idea. I want
to hear the depth of it. Let's go. I'm done. I'm done talking. I swear to God.
You want
to
hear? All right. Yep. Then I think it's that 4D math has, you have to understand how math and letters and language apply relative to you and where you're standing, and you have to read everything around you, understand placement, quanti and quasi level, and really gravitate it to a zero value and all of value.
All right, let's break it down then.
All right, so like everything being said, every color, every hat, every action you have is really just the reason to represent one action relative to a single point in order to keep time moving forward relative to 3D.
So do you feel like there is a self?
A self?
Well, yeah, obviously there is, but what's the difference between...
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean a
self? We all have a self.
Do you?
But is it an eternal being that always exists, or is it a temporary...
You're right.
Am I an hallucination of yours?
So what's the 4D then?
Huh?
What's the 4D then?
It's just the possibility.
The possibility of something we can't grasp yet?
Here's an example. 4D would be admitting when Trump is signing legislation to...
Like, well, guess what? That's reality.
No, I know. Like, where it's like, it's not that. That's not what I'm getting to. Is like when he deregulates, or like he plans to, like if you say Trump is planning to abolish all regulation on the environment, as a 4D, like with 4D math or 4D thinking, you go, which environment? This one, the hologram one that's overlapping mine, like all the infinite ones that are also all those ones, or this one? Because this one is important to me, or is he doing pass along the infinity? So it's like it means more, like every sentence means more than just what the news is saying. It's like it's a representation of where...
Can we debate about that then?
If you want.
I don't agree the way that media portrays shit. And I watch MSNBC and I watch CNN and I do watch Fox News.
Yeah.
I watch all of them.
Do you want a cigarette first?
Yeah, absolutely. Is it still on?
I'm going to pause.
I was going to go.
All right, we're coming back.
Okay.
Scott, I'm a crazy person.
Okay.
I had an experience. I call it an enlightenment experience, where I let go of all of time and space, let go of being connected to anything that I was connected to, and I felt like I still existed as an eternal being made out of light. And that experience was so real to me that it changed the way I see the world. I went from being an atheist to thinking, we're all eternal beings made out of light. And I'm a crazy person. And I tell people about that.
I'm no longer an atheist.
Well, I just want you to say, have courage. You're not crazier than me. All
right.
And I want to go through the notes so that we follow the evolution of the idea so that we have as much understanding as possible when we get to the crescendo.
Okay. So, where do you want me to start exactly?
So we started with... pi is just a number.
Oh.
Infinity minus one. And then...
So, kind of. I guess I'll draw it for you. But, so you have this idea of infinitesimals. So you have one leading to 1.1. Leading to 1.01. Leading all the way through infinity with that mark to 2.
Mm-hmm.
So really how I think it should be drawn if you were going from 2 to 3, you know, from like 2.1, 2.01, etc., all the way through all those numbers, you should draw it as 2 to 3 as this, where it's overlapping itself. So you introduce new numerical values which represent like the space.
Are you saying it's an Ouroboros? It's a circle that devours itself.
Our low pressure, and we split it out from there.
Is there a thing that exists that can go into things that don't exist and begin existence, or is it a circular? It's everything and nothing, and then everything and then nothing.
It'd be, I don't.
You're describing a circle.
He, no, like, he's pumped out. He's pumped out 4,400 pounds.
No, right? I'm saying to get from point A to B quantumly with the infinitesimals, you have to go through all those infinitesimals, which would be on like a quasi-level, a black hole.
You know, if I said that, it's impractical. 3,800 pounds.
Yeah, like it's like you should write it as 1, 2, 2, 1, or 1 to 2, 2, 2 to 3, 3, 3 to 4, 4.
But is that like 1 to the power of infinitely aware of itself?
That's a question. That's a philosophical question.
Of it, like, depends where you're at when it happens.
Yeah, like it really depends on where you want to view it. I don't doubt. I would break it down to what you're explaining is a different language that we're trying
forgive
to communicate.
Me. Forgive me. All right, let's go back to this.
Okay.
Because I want to go through it because these ideas are developing and connecting. I've been down here. I've been down this rabbit hole.
You feel like shit or you can't figure it out, right?
I did it with...
And you feel like shit, right?
Fingerprint of the Gods, where I just thought all the civilizations came from a lost Atlantis... Atlantic civilization, and you gotta look at all the evidence, and you gotta go through all the ideas. I'm not calling this a conspiracy theory, but I'm just saying, you're crazy, I'm crazy. Let's go through it as crazy people.
Okay.
Walk me through.
So then I started thinking about, well, we're 3D, which means we're finite in a 3D realm. But two-dimensionally, if there's two dimension, like multiple two-dimensional existences throughout us, if we sliced a piece of you off and gave it no weight but still gave it meaning, just XY axis slice off, I can create infinite two-dimensional universes through you.
Well, a third dimension doesn't know it ends without a fourth dimension.
Right. So it would be 3 to 4, 4.
But do you think that the self is finite?
The self?
But like, do you have any thoughts on the self?
I don't like going on that point. I don't think, if you ask me honestly, I don't think it is defined by that.
Well, saying that, like, we're looking for Neo. We're looking for the one. The number that is the number. The one that begins it all or ends it all. The undefinable, the undivisible number. What is it?
It'd be 1, 0, and infinity.
Okay. And what is the significance of that?
Well, 1 would be because you're talking about one thing. 0 because you give it 0 value. Or infinite because you give it all value. So it would have that value. So that one point would have all those numbers in it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, like, if everyone, I'm in existence...
Everyone has the same value as the whole.
Yeah, if I'm in existence, my essence, if I do have one, it would equal numerically in the three-dimensional realm which we're talking in right now, it would equal numerically 0, 1, and infinity, and I guess you could throw in infinity minus 1 if you want to execute it from everything three-dimensionally.
All right. Next thing in the notes.
It kind of goes into me talking about space-time, wondering if the universe, so basically the God particle, so why it can't be perceived, if it is perceived. And
that seems like a bullshit question. Can it be perceived? We'll figure it out. It's not if, like yes or no. We'll figure it out.
What if you go around it? You ever seen a church?
It's a possibility.
Have you ever seen the cross with, like, a circle through it? Like, right where it intersects?
Uh-huh.
Like the Gaelic. Is there one thing that's, like, going... Where it's taking all four and going in it? Or is it going around it?
It's like, double pen.
Yeah. It's definitely DP. You dropped your brown lighter perfectly there.
All right. So right now, you're looking at the infinite universe. And anything that exists within that is a microcosm of the
Big Bang.
Of all of it.
I guess so. It's not saying, like, here's where I stop. Here's the parameters where I don't want to go farther. Because it's too much for me.
Are you scared? Are you scared?
Yeah, I don't like it. So it's like, all right, the moment right before the Big Bang, numerically and perspectively, what does it mean relative to me? And then at the end of whatever three-dimensional observation in the universe is, like, can you be a three-dimensional being with trying to attempt to understand it four-dimensionally, to make that leap? That's my parameters. Outside of that, I don't mess around with it.
So, my argument with you on Facebook was, I read this article on Discovery Magazine.
You called me autistic, and then you said I wasn't Rain Man. Yeah. That was the argument.
I said you don't even math, bro. I'm just talking mad shit. For no reason.
Yeah. It was very fragile.
I didn't even know what I was talking about. I was just beating you up. What's this, a cry for help? Shut up, stupid.
Yeah. No, that was all the thing. Yeah, you did do that.
Dear friend.
Dear friend, you suck. Welcome to the friendship podcast.
If you don't feel bad, how will you get better? I'm here to help you.
Thanks.
That's not how I get through my marriage. That would be abusive. So I read this Discovery article, okay. And it said the big theory was that, like, all matter and energy plus all gravity, if you put it together, it comes to zero.
Yeah.
So everything can come from nothing because everything is nothing torn apart from itself. And then we have these, like, quantum particles that can pop into and out of existence. And so it's like, what if one of them popped into existence and then out of? No big deal. But one pops in and another one right next to it and they interact, that could tear apart the whole thing. And that's like the Fibonacci 0, 1, 1, 2.
Well, that's why you have pi running right in between. I actually kind of have a theory about the Fibonacci and the entanglement of pi, that pi is linear and parallel, running basically because of the start of the Fibonacci sequence where you get 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, etc. So while that's expanding, pi is kind of making a vector, but it's like it's always protecting itself. So because of that randomness and that ever-ending expansion,
well, its spread is relative to itself.
Yeah, existence is protected by the rule of infinity minus one. Let's say this is a famous example. I forgot who was there. So it's like, let's say you go to a hotel and you have infinite amount of rooms. And basically, someone new comes up and says, I need a room. But there's infinite amount of people in all the infinite hotel rooms. Well, what you do is you pull somebody out and you put them in a new room so you can fit them into that room. So it just protects itself and it just keeps overlapping and becoming fixed and it just resolves itself.
We're going back to these notes. But here's my grand unified theory.
Okay.
All right. So it all expands, blah, blah, blah. You get to people. Within like 15 years, we're supposed to get to a point where we're basically connecting our brains to the cloud, Wi-Fi. Right. Every human being has access to all knowledge that has ever existed, to infinite computing power within their minds.
Right.
At that point, we'll probably, get over all of our differences, build a utopia, and eventually we'll get to a level where we're merging consciousness with matter. Where all matter is becoming part of our consciousness and we're just pulling things apart on a quantum level. All of it is just becoming us and us conscious. Mm-hmm. I think that all matter and energy will eventually come together and it'll just be all one thing with a consciousness, and then on the other side will be gravity. And this thing will choose to negate the necessity of its own existence. It'll say, I no longer want to exist. I'm infinite. I'm all things. I'm nothing. I no longer choose to exist. On an infinite timeline, it eventually won't want to be. Goes all the way down back to zero. It's like the eye of the Buddha closes, but just before it closes, it flicks out that one more one that starts the whole thing over again.
I think Buddhism definitely falls most into this math. They even have a counting mechanism.
Based on Buddhism?
Yeah, but based on the Buddhist lotus flower. At the angles of how the universe could have started.
So this is reading a lot of romantic philosophical language into hard math, but we're minimalizing the math because we don't understand it.
It's very loose math.
Loose math. Junk science.
Yeah.
Bring me back to the pages. I'm going to have a cigarette.
But bring me back. We're going to go through the steps. We're going to walk through the whole idea.
All right.
You put this on Facebook because you wanted a timestamp.
I did want the timestamp. Yes.
It's either some Einstein shit or somebody please give me a hug.
Well, I think it's, I don't know. I think it's, I hope it's more Einstein. Because I think it's like, it's really all coming down to relativity. It's all, it's about relative to where you're standing. Like, are you older than me or younger than me? Are you, you know, like, it all falls, like, time falls apart eventually.
Well, perspective is relative, but you're talking about hard existence.
Yeah.
So, what is hard existence within the time-space paradigm? Like, it sounded like you were very obsessed hard with time. Existence.
With what?
I'll be right back.
It's traveling.
Yep.
How do I pause it?
No, just leave it going, because basically we're getting into...
I gotta piss.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you go ahead and piss. We'll be right back to talk about simulation theory.
Oh,
there's a lot of things.
We like to know all the stories.
It's actually double rows, too. There are twice as many behind them.
Was it?
Those are double rows, too. Behind them
Holy
are...
Holy shit.
Every single DVD
yeah,
has
a lot of DVDs.
Like pit bull teeth.
They're mostly mine.
Yeah.
All right. So, the beautiful of, like, Stephen Hawking's universe in a nutshell is it made this quantum world, which is a complete mystery to the norm, kind of understandable. To where, like, an idiot like me who never passed algebra, I went, like... I feel like I kind of understand quantum physics. And so I want to go through baby steps, like, understanding your theory. So if we can go back to, like, I want to go through the evolution of it. Like, don't get caught up in explaining the whole thing. We'll get to that at the end. But let's go through the baby steps, the vocabulary the audience has to have to understand this.
Okay. So, really, I fell in love with a guy, a physicist, actually.
Was it Carl Sagan?
Yeah. No, it's Richard Feynman.
Smooth, Richard Feynman.
Boy, he talks like Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
And he's known for like just like talking in layman. Like he was a theoretical physicist in the 70s. Carl Sagan was probably influenced a lot by him, and he would just be like, you know, you just take these tiny little things and you just move them, and then the goal point. Like he had this weird way of talking that just
it was like a no bullshit autism like. Can I just tell you the truth, you fucking simpletons?
Like, he sounded like he could tell you about quantum physics and how to give you an oil change all in the same sentence.
That reminds me of Alex Filipenko. I love him. He does that same shit.
Same thing?
Same exact thing, where it's like you hear everyone else talk. He's like, all right, so there's, like, this ball. It's a thing that's floating up here. And I'm like, I love you. I get it. So much smarter now.
Well, so my biggest complaint about academia when I was part of that world was, like, everybody would always write to sound really smart and use all these big words. And I was like, just make it simple to understand. That shows me you actually understand what you're talking about. Make it as simple as possible.
That's what Richard Feynman does. That's why you can find Feynman.
So he's the real thing. That's one of my check marks. He's the truth.
Look him up. I think you would like him. He actually is, like credited for making... these super complex ideas into the most simple diagrams that
you can get it.
Yeah, like line, squiggle line, and then a circle. Like, it'll just explain.
Okay,
everything.
Stay with me. We got a line. Okay, have I lost anybody yet? Now we have a circle. We're all here. We're all together.
Now you're getting out of line. You got to simmer it.
Simmer down. All right, so let's go back to your page.
Okay. Like, I mean, this is beyond what I wrote here is after, like,
it looks like you have some tic-tac-toes in there. Where you get
I was.
In the middle.
Tic-tac-toe counting. You want to do that?
No, I want to go through it sort of thought by thought, because when I construct these sort of things, I'm writing down, like, the ideas that really speak to me in this sort of... I always feel like I'm trying to unearth a piece of a puzzle. And I always think it's going to be the last puzzle piece, but then it ends up just being part of a bigger picture.
To do that, you would have to go before... When I went through a bipolar manic depressive... A couple of bipolar manic depressive cycles sober.
Is that what they told you?
Yes. That's what they told me.
So what happened to you in those cycles?
So in those cycles, I got obsessed with pi, started working on this theory, and then there was a time like where...
Was this a way for you to like avoid your feelings at the time?
No, I thought I was correct. I was like, I would take notes from the light bulbs.
Was it
flickering.
A new way for you to give yourself meaning and value in a world where
no
your
idea,
identity
dude.
No longer existed?
I don't know. I have no idea. It didn't feel like that. It felt like me just being me. Except instead, like, you know, like, everyone has crazy thoughts, but, like, before I would
it
just,
felt
like,
natural. It felt real.
Like, I would eat a shit ton of shrooms, you know what I mean? And then, like, be like, well, those crazy thoughts were due to the drugs. So, yeah. Of course, that doesn't make sense. But this time I did them sober for about 8 months, you know, of not doing any drugs or anything like that. And then...
So you felt like you could trust it. This is worth investigating because it's not an altered state.
I guess so. Well, no, because now I got diagnosed, I was almost committed, and now the theorem is kind of like, I'm okay with talking about it because it's like, oh, it might not exist. And that's very comforting to know that it's like, this could just be a bunch of bullshit gibberish. Is very... It makes it whole because it can be denied. Because of the capability of it being denied so easily is the comfort that I was seeking.
There's a safe space in that.
Yeah, that it's
like...
It's
okay, I'm just crazy.
Correct.
I know what I am. It's okay.
Yeah.
Let's walk through the ideas. This page here, pie in a circle.
Right. So do you want to go back to...
Build me up to the lotus flower.
So the lotus flower, if you look at it with the Buddhists, how you see it a lot, it'll be like two petals or like a center petal on the back end and then two petals to the left and two petals to the right. So if you count those, you give the middle back petal a value of one thing and I label it as force. Whatever force is at the beginning, because they all kind of meet at one point to kind of form like three things going into one. So if you take positive and negative and take the two bottom flower or lotus petals and give them a value of two or three, depending on how you're looking at it, you'd have to look at my notes for this.
You're looking at your notes. Break it down.
So
right now we have the bottom two petals. One is positive, one is negative.
So you can make that as one force that collides and creates the three.
Is the singularity where they meet.
Correct, the singularity moment. And that whether that moment was real or basically a calculation or a simulation, that's kind of like where you hit an existential crisis. You know what I mean? It's like, am I real? You know, and that's where you start getting driven into the hole and you go down into like this up and this never, like, it seems like it's never ending and you're always sinking down. Like, I remember before I got like medicated and everything like that, what would happen at night if I got too stimulated and too like focused on the theory and the flickering of the light bulbs were absolutely perfect because they were just random. But it felt like it was a message, then I would see like my hand disappear or imagine it. You know, I would go insane. I'd shake my wife and just be like, what is happening? Like, there's something going on. Are you real or whatever? Like, all this lunacy.
And I do that to Courtney in my sleep.
All the time.
Huh?
He does it to me all the time.
Oh, really?
He wakes up.
Not sure what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he freaks out.
See, I have to take a sedative at night prescribed by a doctor so I don't scream.
That's what he does too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like
he'll wake up floating or he'll wake up and think like I'm
all right, but say like right, you know, that's our bias of reality. The education system is set up to find good cogs that know how to read this way and do math this way. And if you're outside of that, if you have different skills, you're deformed, dyslexic, broken. So
or a genius beyond his years. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But the system is made for the cogs, and you're outside of that. You're outside of the cog system. Now, it's not to say that you're wrong, but you exist outside of the system by the nature of your having a different thought.
Right.
So you're on your own out here. You're a pioneer.
I guess. I wouldn't label it as that. I mean, it's just interesting that we program everything like in binary. Because I guess it would start too. Because you have to go when there's an events horizon. If you go through it in the thought, the events horizon is like an existential crisis about to happen, and then you hit the event horizon, which is like a flash or a decimal point, and is not, there's no language to describe the feeling or comprehension behind it because you were taken out of that moment.
It's infinitely become, complex, and we cannot understand it.
Basically, you go from infinity to zero to one, repeating over and over again, to where you go, what the fuck does it mean? What the fuck do I mean? What the fuck does, what is a door? What the hell is, why is this door have glass?
Whether you're a guy working a job or God, eventually you come to the point of, so yeah, what are we doing here?
Yeah, like, is everybody filming me? Is everybody watching me?
This is a joke.
Are we watching Mitch from The Office today? Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we
doing? It's all make-believe. The Constitution's a piece of paper. You crumple it up, throw it away, it doesn't matter. We can totally change it all. It's just make-believe.
Like, when you talk like this, you almost feel like you shouldn't be able to clap your hands. You can't. Like,
you
where
do
it's
whatever
like,
you want. Like, what, there are no like, rules.
Yeah.
The rules only exist
in our with this lunacy, my hand should just travel through itself. And it doesn't. And they go, oh, yeah, that's reality, I guess. Or is it?
So do you rectify or justify your own existence within this? Like, has it, does it give you comfort, chaos? Does it give you more sense of self-value or self-existence or whatever?
The timestamp, honestly, after I released it on Facebook, kind of made me stop going into it because I had a timestamp on it, and I felt saved with the, like, hey, out of everybody I know, I was the first one to put this out there in that way.
You matter. You're special.
Yeah, like, it was like, I put this here when everybody else goes, hey, either Brennan's so stupid he was the last one to figure it out, or he was the first
one. Oh my god, he was the one. He was the first one.
Or the last
one. Dude, I remember when Scott figured that out. We all feel so stupid now.
No, or the opposite. Like, where it's just like, you know, everyone's just like, Brennan, you're a fucking idiot. Or like, where it's just like, this dude on this planet doesn't get it at all. Like, it's like, it's just never ending. It's a fun game to play.
So what is the unified theory?
With what?
What is the grand thesis? What are you? I think that's what you're solving. Because you were talking to me about, like, programming and...
The idea is, like, any question should be asked with the follow-up question, relative to what? Relative to what are you talking about? You have to get more specific with what you're talking about every time, like, every question. And you have to force the person in order to, like, where it's like, if it'll feel like you're shifting through all these realities until you finally go through infinite infinities to an infinite infinities, and all of a sudden there's a single moment where you and somebody else matters at the same time, and without talking, it's just looking, you go, yes, I got it. Everything that you were taught, like, literally everything is in that one moment where you just keep existing, and then you go, what the fuck was that?
So do you feel like going on living is futile or stupid?
Neither.
What do you live for?
Just to live, because that's my function. I'm living, right now, I'm living, I like creating, I like working a job. That's what I do. That's all I can say.
All right. Are there any parts of the theory? Because when you put the patent on it, or when you put it out there like that, it was like, this is it. This is what you need to understand. Is there anything we haven't gone over?
Oh, yeah. Shit ton. But
let's go over it.
You can't without the visual reference. And this isn't the right...
I can put it on there.
It's not the platform. How about that?
Okay, Stephen Hawking. I'll expect your TED Talk tomorrow.
It's not the right platform.
You call me when another platform says they want to have you on to talk about this.
They won't.
Well, let me know.
I'll never be asked to do this again.
I want to be in the audience.
All right. I'm gonna hit stop.
All right, we're getting out of here. We leave it on that note. You guys can figure it out from there. You can go to Scott Brennan's Facebook page and find his pages. You can go through the math. You can figure it out for yourself or not. Or who cares? He's doing it. He's doing something. What the fuck are you doing with your life? Are you thinking about shit?
No. Because
he's trying to figure it out, and you're just sitting around worrying about pizza and shit.
putting the stupid effort in.
Yeah, he's doing the big work. He might be crazy. Give him a hug. But he's doing it. He's trying. I'm right there with him. I'm crazy with him. You can follow me on Twitter at Chicago Open Mic. Follow the podcast. If you never listened before, start with the mixtape volume 5 and move forward. Every week I do new material. I'm the most prolific comic alive. I'm a living legend. Get excited. So follow my podcast and go find Scott Brennan. And I'm an egomaniac. And we're at an hour. Shut up, wife. I'll deport you. This is Trump's America. You don't talk back to me. All right. Peace.